Master of Philosophy in Education from Cambridge. I mean, that is an extraordinary achievement.
Thank you.
When did you set Cambridge as your goal?
Not that early before I actually left. So I got a notification by someone here at the University of Melbourne, which is where I'm living at the moment in Melbourne, saying that there was an opportunity to apply to Cambridge and Oxford and to have some financial support in going. And before that point, I'd never really thought about being able to attend either of those institutions. I guess it's not something that is on most people's mind. When I found out about that, I applied and I got in. So that's when I kind of decided to pack my bags and get going.
And what was the experience like? Was it a lot of hard work?
It was a lot of hard work. It was a lot of sitting at my desk looking at my computer. So when I got back only a few weeks ago, people were like, oh, did you have fun? Did you do lots of travel and that kind of thing? But not at all. It was really about getting the best marks that I could get and making the most, I guess, of the educators and institutions which are, you know, leading in the world while I was there.
So what did you learn there? What were you focusing on?
I learned a lot about the Western education system. And for me, initially, it was a bit confronting, I guess. And when I went over there, that wasn't what I thought I was going to be learning about. But after the end of my course, I realised that's just what I needed to know because I didn't know enough. And now that I do know so much about the Western education system, I feel like I can come back and think about it a little bit more deeply, which in this country, particularly do with Indigenous education, is something that needs to happen more often, I think.
Yeah, because the problem is that a lot of Indigenous kids aren't feeling engaged in that education system. I mean, is that something you're hoping to address?
Definitely. I think that's definitely something that I want to address, but I also want to think of it from a policy perspective. I mean, there's so many wonderful educators out there and so many awesome things happening on the ground, but that's not necessarily being acknowledged from a policy level, which I think is where a lot of the systemic change will take place.
Give us an example of that. What sort of policy change is needed, in your opinion?
I think that, first of all, educators or policy needs to recognise that Aboriginal people are capable of doing wonderful things and we have wonderful things to contribute. There's a lot of low expectations, I think, out there. And also, that non-acknowledgement of the contribution that Aboriginal people can make everywhere, anywhere in Australia, I think that needs to happen, that acknowledgement. And when that does, learning environments will be enriched. I think that's one good example.
For someone that has battled those same low expectations, how did you overcome it?
For me, I guess there's a lot of kids out there that are not necessarily proud in their identity initially, because within school, especially to do with history and that kind of thing, it's not something that's really nurtured. I mean, even now, when I was doing my research in Cambridge, I was looking into the experience of Indigenous high school students, and still, you know, that history taught is very contradictory to a lot of the family and community stories that a lot of the kids know. And again, that comes down to a devaluing of a certain kind of knowledge within that context, like the learning environment. So for me, I think it really hit in year 11 and 12 when I was one of the last of my friends at high school or going on to complete year 12. And yeah, the history books just had nothing. I remember having a fight with my history teacher and leaving the room. And for the last 3 months leading up to my TE, which I think is called ATAR now, I didn't go to my history class because I really didn't like it that much. But at the same time, that gave me a fire in my belly to, tackle those issues now. Yeah.
Lily Brown joins us this morning. She's the first Indigenous person to graduate from Cambridge, and she's from Goombangi country. So you were born in Coffs Harbour?
No, I wasn't. I was actually going to correct you on that. I was born in Perth.
Born in Perth. So what's the connection to Coffs?
So my family, or my grandmother, was born in Coffs Harbour. She was a Goombangi woman. And that's a part of our family story, I guess. But we've been nurturing kind of connections with Coffs Harbour over the last few decades. And some beautiful relationships have come out with that, including our relationship to country. So I've got quite a lot of Perth family up in Coffs Harbour right now. They're probably leaving in a few hours. So, yeah, that's our connection.
And were they here on the weekend for Aunty B's 70th?
Yes, we were indeed. I actually just got off the phone to Aunty B before I came on for this interview. So she's listening there. Hi, Aunty B.
It's wonderful. Was it a good party?
It was such a good party. It was the most beautiful night. So, yeah, it was really, really wonderful. And it was a great, a great gathering where people were connecting, which I think Aunty B does really well.
Yeah, and how important is that to have elders that can help lead the way? And really, this is something that you've done now as the first Indigenous person to graduate from Cambridge. In a way, you know, you have forced a path for others to follow.
Thank you very much. That's something that I really like to know or hear, you know.